CliffCentral.com.
All right. Good morning, everybody. What's happening? Here we are. We're live. It's all taking place on the internet, where all the excitement is. And it is Wednesday today? It's the 6th of January. It's a Wednesday already. We've made it far through the week. How's it, Damon?
Good morning. No more Gary Glitzer in the morning?
Oh, no,
We haven't used Gary Glitter.
We haven't used Gary Glitter for years, Damon. That we stopped using.
Oh my God!
Jesus, we stopped using that not because he's a pedophile. We just stopped using it because we had our own music. Remember?
Oh my God! I've lost it.
So what Damon's referring to is that Gary Glitter song, which we used to use on 5FM years ago, Rock and Roll Part 2.
Oh. Yeah. You don't want to. Oh, okay. I feel silly now. Sorry about that.
No, but it was good. It's a great song.
It was very nice music.
It's a good song.
It's a good song. What happened to you? Gary Glitter in jail? I can't remember.
I think he's in jail. This is the song we used to use, right?
Yeah, man. Mm. But you retired it, eh?
Well. Yeah, I just decided it wasn't actually our song, and every time we played it, we were giving money to Gary Glitter. I didn't know that was such a good idea. Yeah.
And pedophile lawyers are expensive.
Yeah, and I don't.
So he needed it.
And as you know, I'm not a big fan of pedophiles, so, you know.
Possession of child pornography, child sexual abuse, and attempted rape of minors.
Yeah.
If R. Kelly's ever convicted, does that mean no more R. Kelly music? Well, what other music are we not allowed to do?
Michael Jackson is in the gray area.
But Michael Jackson was never convicted.
It's in the gray area. You know?
So no Michael Jackson then?
So where is Gary Glitter in jail? Is it in Southeast Asia somewhere, or is it in Britain?
No, he came back from Vietnam or Cambodia. He came back and was arrested in Britain, if memory serves me correct. Am I here? Could you research the part?
I am trying to research as we speak.
Okay. I think we're the first people to look up Gary Glitter in about 10 years, so at least someone cares. He's probably going to respond personally to the search results because no one's that interested in him.
He's probably sitting there in front of his computer in the prison library.
He's staring
at he's looking at his Google alerts.
Yeah.
And he's waiting and waiting.
He was sentenced in the South Wark Crown Court. Yeah, that sounds very British.
That's England.
Yeah, that's British.
Mm.
And he's wearing his mask. Not because of corona, not because he's hiding away from the
prison. I wanna ask you, if you have a relative and they get sentenced for something hideous like pedophilia, do you visit them?
What are you talking about? Oh, do you visit them? Because I was going to say, I am in that position. Well, I was in that position. Do you visit him?
What position were you in?
Oh, my brother's father-in-law in Canada.
Yeah.
He was convicted of molesting prisoners. Oh. He was a psychiatrist in Calgary. Oh. And he was convicted of molesting convicted felons because part of their bail conditions or their parole conditions was to see him. And he landed on giving them a good chuckle. And he was convicted. Yeah. On the positive note, his victims were adult men who were serious criminals, like rapists, murderers, etc. Like there were no women, no children involved. So...
What is the positive?
Silver lining.
I'll tell you what. Let me just throw this into the hat. You have to be very committed to sex, and you have to be extremely brave to try this stuff with convicted felons. Because imagine if it goes wrong. I mean, it can really land you in some dangerous water. You know.
Well, go figure, eh? Hmm.
Stay away from that.
Those are all the details I know. I know about it.
Well, Nico makes a very good point this morning. Nico says pedophiles must hate lockdown with all the schools being closed. There's nowhere for them to go. So that's a good point.
Nico, there are boundaries. Now you've just crossed the boundary.
Is that so?
Really?
So first of all,
are we too gay this morning?
Yes, too gay this morning.
You saw
the feedback. So Damon, would you like to respond to that? But before that, before we get to anything from yesterday's show, a lot of people have been asking for you. So I'm happy to see you on the show. Venetia and Woody are both saying this morning it's great to have Damon on. But someone asked.
Good morning, Damon.
Someone asked Damon. Before the show started and we switched the cameras on, someone saw you cleaning your glasses in your normal, unorthodox fashion. So just explain to people what you do, because they can't believe their eyes, and those who are not watching are listening to us on the app or on
it's very simple. You know, glasses get dirty.
Yeah.
So you put the glasses in your mouth and you give it a good lick, and then you clean it. Yeah, in fact, you could do with another cleaning. There. And I'm just cleaning your glasses.
I'm just going to use my my sick bucket over here in the corner of the room. Just hold on one second.
Why do you have a sick bucket? That's unnecessary.
Oh, Damon, don't you have – doesn't it smell?
All right. That's
no, I brushed my teeth. I brushed my teeth. I could be – if I was a dentist now, I would feel confident to treat a patient.
Hold on. I'm not – let me not pretend to be upset by this. You've done many worse things than that during the course of over years. Oh, no, you have. So I'm not even surprised. How's Bernice? How's everybody in the family? How was your Christmas, your New Year, all that stuff?
You know, same old, same old. The thing is, I was going to complain and tell you that December was horrible because there was all the spring cleaning, and Bernice is a hard taskmaster.
Yeah.
And it was just every single day. It was relentless. But then last night I had this epiphany.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm in this kitchen and I'm looking for Tupperwares, and I open the Tupperware cupboard and all the Tupperwares are there with their lids.
Yep.
And I'm so happy that, you know, these are the results of the spring cleaning.
Correct.
Because I had a situation where we had 100 Tupperwares and I could never find the lids. So instead of 100 Tupperwares, we got 15, 20 Tupperwares and they got their lids. So I don't want to complain too much. But let me just – but all I can say is every December, it's tough. It's – can I tell you a true story?
Yeah.
In our kitchen, in the space of a year, we have changed the table in the kitchen up to 4 times with three different tables, and it's changed 4 times. That's how we keep on changing and moving things.
Yeah.
There's always innovation and change and moving and everything.
There has to be renewal. And one of the things that indicates to me is that you're trying also to find the best function and form for every space in your house, which is very good. You know, this stuff obsesses me. I mean, Bernice and I have a lot in common in that respect. I can't I can't concentrate unless things are in an orderly, systematic, you know, planned, organized manner. I can't exist like that.
It can be tiring.
This is why I'm alone. Because if anyone lived with me, they'd kill themselves.
A big stinkwood, yellowwood table that used to be in the Calvary study for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
That was the one table in the kitchen. No, decided, you know what? It's too big, not practical.
Mm-hmm.
But to get it out, but to get it in and out of the kitchen, not so easy. Then there's a white metal table, a lot smaller, that Bernice bought from a secondhand furniture shop. That got installed. Then that broke. Then that sat in the outside patio for I don't know how long. Then we brought in a wooden table in the kitchen. That was good size. Then the metal table got repaired. Then it got taken out again. Now we got the white table again. And we're going to settle on that white table, but I promise you now, in a year's time,
a different
table will be brought in.
Damon, how are you when it comes to DIY and being handy and screwing things?
I'm terrible. I'm shocking. I can do the pool. I'm good with the pool.
Okay.
I'm a good pool boy.
Yeah.
I can backwash. I can creepy crawly, all that kind of stuff. I can change light bulbs.
Uh-huh.
And that's where it ends. I feed the dogs.
Has Bernice accepted that you aren't that sort of person and just takes things?
No, she gets angry. She gets angry. The electricity tripped last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm doing the thing where you to work out which plug is affected, what's causing the electricity to trip, which is an ordinary basic thing to do. And Bernice gets irritated with me because why haven't I worked it out yet? And I mean, it was a bit tense last night, very tense. Anyway, I called this electrician, came in at the last minute. Brilliant. Yeah.
Damon, let's just deal with some issues that are left over from yesterday morning, because the show moves very fast, as you know.
Yeah, the show's very gay, apparently.
Yeah, we have lots to talk. So first of all, that was a criticism of the show from an email that we got from Mark yesterday, which we're taking very seriously, I want to point out. We're not doing what we usually do and just dismiss. You know, it's a new year. We're looking for good feedback. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to congratulate you and Sia and Mbulelo for dealing with this issue in a mature and not taboo fashion. Mm. You guys weren't embarrassed.
Mm.
You weren't humiliated. You weren't ashamed. You didn't get defensive. You actually laughed it off. But besides that aside, I've just got an interesting theory about what was that guy's name, Mark.
Well, he had a lot of criticism. Mark. So, I mean, you're zeroing in on just the one. So just tell us what your.
It's just an interesting thing. I think I know another thing that you guys never went into. Why Mark has this impression that the show is too gay?
Mm. Okay. By the way, I just want to point out, Sia did take it very personally, and he was quite hurt. He? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Very much so.
Yeah.
Mm. No, it's just an interesting observation. There's this, in my opinion, there's this South African masculine toxicity that pervades in our society, and the second you guys don't talk about sport very much,
no,
except Mbulelo a bit, you guys are not this man's man. Ooh.
Yeah,
then I took my cock out, and then I chick it. You know, you guys are not like that.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing, because then you wouldn't have any female listeners. All your female listeners would run for the hills.
Yeah,
so that's actually a very good thing, but the thing is, it's an indictment, I think, on Mark and a lot of men in South Africa. There's this masculine toxicity. I've experienced it myself. I believe my life in working in radio in society, some men actually, one of the reasons why they actually hated me or didn't like me is because they couldn't understand me. Why am I not this? Why don't I have this? Why am I not this man? Well, you don't drink beer. Like, if you don't drink beer, there's something terribly wrong with you. Misogynist, there's something wrong with you. And it's just, am I overanalyzing perhaps? It's just my observation.
But it's a good one, I think.
What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting point of view, and I think it is. It's true of South African society that we do have these stereotypes that we pretend aren't there, but they're a big part of what South Africa is. Gareth, here's another piece of criticism. Gareth, you annoy the hell out of me at times, but the show is world class, and Mark is a, and then he uses the C word, and that's from, sorry, it's a woman. This is Diane who uses the C word in Sedgefield. Got a foul mouth, which I like. Well done, Diane. And I don't mind if I annoy you sometimes. Yes?
Can I tell a funny C story?
Go ahead.
So my niece gets cyber bullied on her WhatsApp. These kids at her school, she's 13 or she'll be 14 next month.
Mm-hmm.
She gets cyber bullied. And she says to my sister, Mommy, what's a sunt?
Because she pronounced
so innocent.
Sweet.
I was called a sunt instead.
There is other advice that Damon has from yesterday's show, which we've got to carry over. In fact, this comes from Monday, because Leanne reported her neighbors on the WhatsApp group and said, you guys must stop letting off fireworks. And, you know, so Leanne was being the class prefect as usual. And that's kind of something that she's always done. But you have some useful advice for dog owners and people whose pets go crazy during thunder, fireworks. I mean, you can't avoid these things. Even if you lived in the perfect society, there'd always be someone who'd want to fire off a firework. You've got to have a way of dealing with this.
Well,
and I don't like reporting people, as you know. So what's your advice?
Well, can we go into the whole WhatsApp group thing?
Okay.
Are you on any?
So I used to be on... I used to be on the neighborhood WhatsApp group, but I left it.
Yeah.
I just couldn't take it anymore. Mm. There are two suspicious men on the road.
Yeah.
Why are they're suspicious? Because they're black. If there's a white guy sitting in his car, you don't send a message, there's a suspicious man sitting in his car. No, you don't. There's no message about the white guy sitting in his car. But anyway, that's just another example. My garden boy, Joseph, is available on Monday. I hate that. He's not a boy, you know. So eventually, I just couldn't take it anymore. I cracked. I left the WhatsApp group.
Yes.
But when I was part of the WhatsApp group, There would be fires. These fireworks are terrible, and they'd carry on about the fireworks. but they don't complain when there's thunder and lightning.
Yeah.
When there's thunder and lightning, your dogs or your cats behave in exactly the same way,
mm-hmm.
but you don't complain. Anyway, but going back to my solution, and this is just going to annoy people. This will mainly annoy people.
Yeah.
It won't actually help them because people don't want to listen. Can I just ask my wife, Bernice wants to sit on the couch on my left and knit while I do the show.
Can you knit?
Please, distracting.
Oh.
I'll put you on camera and people will see you in your
night. Yes, turn the camera. Yeah. Let's have a look. Yeah.
No, then I'll never, there'll be Billy Gundelfinger straight away. Humba, please.
Humba.
It's distracting. Okay. I'm sorry.
She's knitting.
I'll show you the yeah.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, you push the camera back. Okay.
Yeah, no. This is the blanket she's knitting.
It looks like a Calvary jersey. It looks like a Naomi Calvary. Yeah.
Anyway, she's been knitting this, I think, for 2 years or 18 months. I can't remember.
Jesus.
The last one took 4 years to knit.
Bless.
Wow, that's very nice.
Okay, now she's worried that I don't think I messed up your stitch. Anyway, so
just going back, turn
sorry,
your,
that,
turn
that
your,
was a terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry, I couldn't. I'm sorry. I messed up her stitch. I'm sorry, but it's distracting.
No.
And now she tells me I'm distracting. Okay, so anyway, what was I saying? So, do you remember Dr. Plutzent?
Yes.
He was the animal behaviorist on that radio station 702.
Yes, that's right.
I worked with him, being the call screener, taking the calls. So inevitably, you're listening to the show. You can't miss the show. I did this for more than a year. You know what his advice was? 8 out of 10 times for every single animal dog problem?
Ignore.
Uh-huh.
Ignore your animal.
Mm-hmm.
Just ignore. Because your animal, your dog, or your dog mainly, sees you as a pack leader.
Mm-hmm.
So when you start comforting your dog, that does the opposite of what you think you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you as the pack, you informing your dog that, shit, there's something wrong.
Yes.
So you actually just make your dog worse. So you are the problem, not your dog. You are the problem.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because people have the same attitude with children sometimes. Instead of And it is necessary sometimes to ignore your children and let them make a mistake. I mean, not something that's going to put them in harm's way, obviously. But the same is true for kids a lot of the time. You know, you got these parents who are paranoid about their children, and they don't ever allow their children to experience anything, and therefore the kids end up, once they leave the nest, making all the mistakes once they're out of the parents' range. But for dogs, I'm so glad that you said this, because it's such an important point. And you know, you're calling on authority here with Dr. Plutzent, because he really knows his stuff. And this guy, I mean, he had to talk to endless, endless numbers of old ladies about their dogs and their cats. And these people, the only thing in their lives was their pet. And he wouldn't have given them the wrong advice. You know, he once, for God's sake, this is the most important relationship some of these people had.
And he had the patience, because every show for 10, 15, maybe almost 20 years, every Sunday afternoon or whatever day it was,
right,
was exactly the same. So all those callers, I don't think ever listened to the show.
No.
It's for callers, because they obviously never listened to the show before, because the answer is always the same,
yeah. Yeah, but that's true for radio, full stop, that the people who call in are not actually listening to the show. That's purely about them. Usually the people who call in But, you know, they just want to talk about their thing. And that's fine. I mean, it provides great material.
This kind of thing where legal advice, pet advice, financial advice, health advice, those kind of advice shows. Right. That is definitely the case. Anyway, sure.
Well,
what a history, hey?
Woody says, this is some interesting, you're a parent, so Woody's saying, when the kids throw tantrums in shops, just leave them, but keep them in eyes view. Most of the time, they will stop their trouble.
Oh, no, I've done the actual tantrum.
Oh, really?
So then, Daddy, you're embarrassing me. And that
you threw the tantrum instead.
So the child does a tantrum, right?
Yeah.
So I do a Meryl Streep and I mimic her, and I've done the same. I started jumping up and down and having a tantrum as well, and then straight away stopped the tantrum. See, do you understand? Is there a light bulb on your head?
I get that.
Yeah.
And I'm not judging the process.
Granted, people must have looked at me and thought I was mad, but hey,
yes,
it worked. Yeah.
Hey, by the way, did you like my idea of sorting out Furibles yesterday? Because this is something new we're going to do every week, and I heard
your thing. You want to do a thing every week where you come up with some kind of a life skill solution type of thing.
Sometimes it's going to be ridiculous and all about personal development. Sometimes it's going to be just silly. Sometimes it'll be very practical and useful. But I'm hoping to do this for the course of 2021. We all need to find things, you know, with lockdowns and everything, people have got to.
It's a tricky thing, because you know as well as I do, things really, the most successful things that work are things that happen organically.
Yeah.
Now you've manufactured an idea and you've almost made a promise that you're going to do this every week. So, you know, now, can you deliver? That now you're under this pressure. Can you deliver with the thing every week?
Well, so, ask Sia, because I sent him a list for the first 3 or 4 months, and it's all planned. So I've got lots of ideas.
3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
No, you've got to include the Marks of this world who want to write in an email and WhatsApp with their things as well, eh?
Sure.
Because 3 or 4 months sounds like a long time, but once 3 or 4 months is over, then what are you going to do?
No,
then you left holding. Then you left holding this baby with problems, and you don't have any problems.
How am I still referred to as the dramatic one in this bunch when Damon speaks like this on the daily?
No, you're not. The problem is, I'm blowing my load. You guys, we only do this every 3 or 4 months, so I get overexcited, and I'm like, I haven't done this for so long. When am I going to be on this show again? And then you are the reason this.
Do you know what I thought
like
of?
A,
do you
like
know? I was listening to a bunch of old songs the other day, and Olivia Newton-John came on, and I thought of your show, Keeping Up with the Calvaries, and I just started laughing.
Personal,
because that,
you want to get personal. Keeping Up with the Calvaries.
It was a
keeping
great show.
Up with the Calvaries.
And you know, I have to give you credit. I thought it was good at the time, but now looking back, the name was genius because it was Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and you guys also have Calvary with a K. It was it was a very clever idea.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was your manager, Rena. She came up with the idea.
Beautiful idea.
And the Kardashians never took legal action.
No, they didn't even try.
Never.
They realized they were fighting a losing battle. What were they going to do?
They knew what they were up against.
Absolutely.
But they canceled their show, but now they've signed a deal with HBO. They're going to relaunch. It was at Hulu. I knew it was at
Hulu.
H. Yeah. Oh, so they're going to have they relaunched already on Hulu? Or they're all going to be wearing masks?
No, it will launch later this year, reportedly. But it's all a money thing.
Well, obviously. But I was thinking about this whole mask thing. And there was an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David where he didn't want to meet with this colleague or associate because the guy's annoying. So he thought, how do I get rid of this guy? How do I get him away from me without canceling the meeting? So he put on a red MAGA hat.
Yeah, make America great again.
And that was hilarious. And I'm thinking to myself, I actually tweeted Larry David yesterday because, of course, he responds to all my tweets. And I said to him, please do episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm with the masks. Make it like, because it's almost like reality TV, and it'll be so funny. We have situations where people are wearing their masks. Is it just me who's thinking like this?
Well,
because it's dealing with reality. Hey, got your mask, Sheila. Put your mask on. You know,
Like I've always said,
have you washed your hands?
You're like a real life Larry David and George Costanza, who's the character in Seinfeld that they based on Larry David. I mean, he wrote the series. And I've always thought that you were like, you and Larry David are connected on some, you're the only two people in the world that I don't know him personally, but I know you and I've seen him enough. I've watched all the Curb Your Enthusiasm. And like, you are the only two people like that in the whole world. I've never met anyone else or seen anyone else on TV who's like that. It's quite extraordinary.
I don't think he's so nice in real life.
You think he might be a horrible person?
I've not horrible, but I've seen him being interviewed, I think, on Dave Letterman, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not that friendly. He's not that friendly like me. We've met people. We've met, like, Eddie Izzard, for example. Eddie Izzard, if you look at him on social media, he's running all these marathons, raising funds for something, and he's got the red lipstick on, and he's looking, and he's all friendly and affable and very nice. But when you meet him in real life, one of the most unfriendly people ever. And I met him twice.
Hasn't he also, so like, he's officially said that he is either transgender now he's a she, so you can't call him a he. Yeah.
I always knew he was a transvestite.
Yeah, but now he's actually a woman, he says. He identifies as a woman, so.
Are we still allowed to use the word transvestite in 2021?
Yes.
Well, transvestite was never – transvestite
– that was never controversial. Well-meaning. That's a man who dresses up in women's clothing or a woman who dresses up in
never
man's
been,
clothing.
It's never been, strictly speaking, a derogatory term.
No.
It's a heterosexual man that dresses up as a woman. But also – it also applies to the arts, performing on stage, those
like drag queens.
They call them drag queens, but at one time I think they called them transvestites as well, maybe, but I could be wrong. In fact, I probably am wrong.
Yeah.
Probably drag queens is probably the term. But
well, let me tell you, if Erla didn't sound gay, this sounds gay. Yeah.
The show's sounding very gay.
Mark's definitely going to tune out after today. So Daz says he loved the
night. How was the cricket yesterday? South Africa won, eh? 2.5 days.
Hit him for six with the LBW.
And innings and 100 runs. We beat those Lankans. How about that?
They Daz, called the toss and elected
shut
to
up,
bowl.
You two. All right, please, I'm already bored. Hey. Daz says the MAGA hat episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm is my favorite one. Larry said that he's going to keep any COVID-related content out of the new series of Curb. So he's not actually going to focus on... That's interesting,
really? Yeah. Look, I'm not going to argue with a man who's made billions of dollars, literally.
Sure.
Can't argue with him.
No.
You know, he obviously knows what he's doing.
Knows his
he's
stuff.
The expert.
Yeah.
He knows his stuff.
So here's an interesting point of view. This is maybe something that you can point out. Adam says, Damon, he thinks that you were actually kicked off your WhatsApp neighborhood group and you did not leave voluntarily. I can just imagine him ranting on there as well. Shouty, shouty, Damon.
Funnily enough. I did do a couple of missteps on that WhatsApp group where people did, like, for example, the whole dog thing. I went on that WhatsApp group and explained the whole pack leader thing. Oh, my God, people got angry with me. Oh, my God, they got very angry, very angry. But where I did get into trouble was, it was a Friday night, just before Shabbos, just before it got dark, and the next door neighbor's dog was howling and going mad. And the WhatsApp group says, what's going on? Why is this dog? So I said, maybe it's the call to prayer for Shabbos. Literally, Frances Cohen thought I was this anti-Semite. And she, that's not funny. That's very rude. Yeah, very rude. But I can. But if there's two black men walking on the pavement, I can say cheesy, species mean. That's not a problem. That's acceptable. I can say, my God, my boy is available on Monday. You can say that. He's very trustworthy. You can say you can say that, but you can't make a harmless joke about the dog making a noise. That's why I left the WhatsApp group.
All right, time for some headlines. Let's look at what's actually happening in the world.
We're running a bit late with the headlines.
I know. We get very undisciplined when you're on the show. There is nothing urgent about Wednesday's NCC meeting. That's according to the Government Communications Office. They've said that all of this talk of President Cyril Ramaphosa taking us to level 5, they say, is fake news. That is their actual...
But then why are they having this NCC? It's three Cs.
So
why are they having this NCC meeting then?
Damon, according to GCIS, Government Communication and Information, they announced the members of the Joint Operations Center will report to the president as usual. They say that this is what happens. There was no other scheduled meeting. There was no canceled one. Mm-hmm. At the festive season, and this is the first meeting for 2021. Uh-huh. They denied that he's about to address the nation at any time. The presidency will issue a statement to that effect. At the moment, we can confirm that the command council will be meeting tomorrow as usual. South Africans have been urged to accept.
So in other words, when the news reported yesterday that this command council meeting was actually scheduled for next week, that was fake news. They just sucked that out their thumb because that is
news.
Possible.
Yes, it is fake news. And according to the government, and believe it or not, I mean, listen, I'm the last one to just believe the government, but I think I trust the GCIS more than I do News 24 and IOL, and I think I trust them more. I actually think I do, because you know what have they got to gain out of spreading fake news? And frankly, they're the ones who set up the. I think that we should insist that the news sites that said that this is a news story be prosecuted. You know that you can have someone charged with spreading fake news around COVID, and I think that maybe one of these news organizations needs to be held responsible, because they're doing it for clicks, you see. They're doing it for ratings.
Unfortunately, it's just not practical, because unfortunately, this kind of situation where they give misleading information that there was going to be a meeting next week, but now that's been moved, unfortunately, it's happening all too often, and there'll be too many cases, and it's just they'll never get to it, because it's happening all too often. It's because they want to do this clickbait business. I'm on Twitter. I look at Twitter all the time. That's where I get my news. And for example, the Sowetan yesterday or the day before, in order for you to click, they put down a quote about this ridiculous Etiquini councillor saying that 5G causes disease, but it's not obvious when you first see it that they're quoting someone. It comes across as
news.
A factual headline,
right?
Like it's actual news.
Yeah,
the news is that the Etiquini guy has lost his mind and he's talking cuck. That's the news.
Yes, but you see, they don't care about
you. Don't know that.
They just want you to click.
Well, I clicked.
Yeah. Well, tell us what you thought of that story. What did you think of that story?
Well, can I just finish one last thought?
Sure.
But then to add insult to injury, these Kalikas, these schmoes, they want to charge us. They want to charge us. They want us to subscribe and pay a monthly thing of 70 Rand to read some of their articles.
Uh-huh.
They are, it's absurd. It's insane.
Why does it seem crazy to you?
Because how can you charge me to read articles if you keep on making mistakes and talking cuck and make grammatical errors all the time?
No, you.
How can you charge me for that?
If you still, very old people and people who honestly don't understand how the internet works, those people still believe everything they see on TV and everything they read on the internet. And it's those are the people who are in the most paranoid situation at the moment, because obviously they're being given this intravenous, now that they're locked down at home, they've the intravenous injection of news every day, and it's all bad news because that's all that the amygdala in the brain responds to. These people their lives are getting more and more traumatic because they're allowing all this stuff in. And they never question any of it. They don't go, well, maybe You know, like the news, maybe the news websites are making money out of me doing this because I'm clicking on story after story about this happened and that happened. I mean, there was a story in the UK about how children were getting this new strain of COVID and dying, and it was obviously nonsense. It was they picked up one tweet from someone who wasn't even a medical professional, and they started spreading it around in the news circles as news because obviously this would create a panic, and you can imagine every parent would click on that to see whether it was pertinent to them or not. And it turned out it was totally made up. It was denied and kind of immediately what would you call it? It was
contradicted.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for.
Wasn't corroborated.
Wasn't corroborated.
I like
by,
that word.
By, oh,
I like
good
that
word.
Corroborated.
By all the medical bodies and professionals in the UK, and they put out this fire that had started on the internet. But you can imagine some of the damage was done already because you've got people who are already panicky about everything, and now you're giving them fake information. I mean, this is dangerous.
We can get into this Etiquini councillor for a second, but can I just quickly give one major, major example that's been going around for almost a week? And in my mind, it's one of the biggest world news stories that is not a story.
What?
So, I listened to the Donald Trump telephone conversation for an hour, 1 minute and 24 seconds.
I listened
to the whole conversation.
Yeah.
Bernice and I sat and listened to the whole thing with that Georgia senator or secretary, press secretary, and two other. We listened to the whole thing. Highly entertaining, juicy, cool. But you learned absolutely nothing new.
Yeah.
Everything that Trump said on that conversation, he's been saying on Twitter. And he's been saying at press conferences, it was just entertaining because to actually hear Trump, to hear it coming from his mouth. And that now what I don't understand is hugely well-respected journalists. One of the guys that covered the Watergate scandal, can't remember his name now. He even fell for it and said that this is bigger than Watergate. He actually said that this is bigger than Watergate,
and it's really not. It's not any. I listened to the part that they, because obviously they're gonna pick the most saucy, juicy part that makes Trump look the worst. Because look, I mean, Trump is all those things that people think he is. He's a total narcissistic nutcase, and he's obviously hates losing. So all of this that's going on at the moment is pulling on the worst parts of his character and making them very much more evident. But I listened to it and I was like, well, why is this even a story?
Well, the story should have been, ha, 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 this is really funny. We've got this recorded conversation with Trump.
Right.
So it is a story. But in my opinion, that's the angle. The angle isn't, whoa, huge scandal. Trump's going to get prosecuted for high treason or whatever they used some other.
And it's worth saying
fits the narrative.
Yeah,
Damon. That angle wouldn't fuel the fire. That angle wouldn't carry on the drama.
And by the way, I know who that guy is. The guy that you're talking about is the dude, the Watergate guy. He said everything's worse than Watergate about 10 times. He said that since Watergate, and none of them have been. So he's obviously That's his thing. He's bigger than Watergate guy.
Going back to your point that you just made, that doesn't feed into the narrative. I hear what you're saying, but there is enough real news and real stuff that feeds the narrative.
All right, let's get into some of that because we're running late.
The news cycle is so repetitive.
Yeah. So here's a story. South Africa's tavern and shebeen owners have urged the government to reinstate off-site sales of liquor, saying the livelihoods of 100,000 people are at stake. The country has had a series of bans on the sale of alcohol that have been imposed and lifted since the beginning of lockdown in March last year. And the country has been experiencing a second wave of the pandemic, reporting 12,000 new cases on Monday, bringing the number of infections up to more than 1 million since the pandemic began. And obviously, most of those people have recovered, but, you know, they're creating panic here. So they've said that they need to ban liquor, which, you know, I think it's banned till the 15th of January or something. So
oh,
10.
Wow. All right.
So they could always extend it. But can I just give my little angle on this, and it's somewhere that maybe you never thought of. Isn't it sad or it's just an illustration of how racially polarized we are in South Africa. Why is it the tavern guys that are doing all this? What about all the other bar owners and restaurant owners? Why aren't they all getting together?
Well, they should be getting together. I don't think it's racially polarized. I think that maybe these guys are just more organized.
Maybe they think that they think they got better political influence than some white guys in Sandton.
It's kind of interesting that you jumped to that conclusion, not that that's the
truth. Well, that's what I do.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how you feel about this, but I really don't care. I mean, if they only go back to selling liquor in 2 months' time, I'm not going to be desperate for a drink. But I know that there are people who are desperate for a drink, and there are a lot of people who use liquor as a coping mechanism. And you can make fun of them and you can say, oh, well, you know, that's not going to solve their problems. But if you have serious depression or you are an alcoholic or you've got problems in your life and that drink helps you to make it through the day, who the hell is anyone to tell you that you need to reform? And government's not going to make your situation better by taking it away from you cold turkey. They're going to make it worse.
It's interesting that you take that angle, Gareth, and I'm not going to argue with it, but to me, the major negative side is the economic side effect. That isn't that much more important.
You mean that
not that individual alcoholic.
No, obviously. But I mean, we've spoken about that before, so I think it's kind of stuff we've done. But I agree with you. Are you talking about people losing jobs, or are you talking about how we're not going to...
No, like people who lose their jobs because the liquor stores closed down and they can work at the liquor store. Farm workers in the wine industry in Cape Town. You know, that to me, that's the bigger, more important issue.
Well, that's the number. They said 100,000 people could lose their jobs if we don't go back to selling liquor.
Okay, sorry, you did bring that up. I was slightly distracted. I got a bit of listener feedback in the middle of all this. So you really need to give others a chance to speak. Calm down. Yeah, okay. That's Bernice. She WhatsApped me.
Okay,
that's listener feedback.
I don't think we discussed this week just as yet, but it was some account belonging to the Gauteng department tweeting about how they have stopped someone and they have apprehended them for transporting liquor, and they actually had the gall to attach a photo to this tweet. And it's someone's boot of a car, mm-hmm. and it's two six packs of booze. And to think this is what they're really so proud of.
Yeah. Well, this is
someone in a private car was moving with 2 6-packs of booze.
Well, it's called low-hanging fruit. And when you have a police force that's as useless as ours, and I know that they're a good policeman, I always have to put this caveat in there because I don't want them to think that I'm painting them all with the same brush. But the majority of police people in this country are really just very much below average. And they consider this some kind of a victory. Like, you know, Becky Taylor runs around and he arrests people for breaking lockdown rules, which are like being out of your house after 9 o'clock at night or carrying a 6-pack of Castle Lights to a friend for a braai. I mean, if this is what you consider a success story, as Sia points out very correctly, then you really have to examine when we live in a country where there's huge gender-based violence, where there's massive amounts of murder and rape. And I mean, there was a guy beheaded in the street in Chatsworth.
Two
people beheaded. And the stupid fucking police are telling me that they're heroes for arresting someone for carrying 12 beers around. Are you kidding? Like, there's just no sense of proportion here. And obviously, they're two different crimes, so they get dealt with differently. And
When I saw that beheading story,
wow!
I thought, okay, this is in Syria,
yeah.
But it was in Chatsworth, Durban.
Yeah,
I got such a shock. I mean, the whole story was it was allegedly the two hitmen who killed that mafia boss.
Yeah.
So they weren't totally innocent people, but still, sure, what a thing, eh?
Bruno says, on a side note, Damon, all my family members who I gifted fragrances to for Christmas absolutely loved them. That's from Bruno, who's obviously a customer of yours. Bruno in Brakpan. Very nice.
Bruno from Brakpan. He ordered fragrances from me. Thank you very much, Bruno.
So there's some nice clues.
Oh, We're getting direct feedback about my fragrances.
That's right.
That's amazing. Thank you, Bruno.
Here's a very sad story, and something which I thought we would be able to curtail some of this during COVID, because we're all thinking about people's health. But 11 initiates have died in the Eastern Cape since the beginning of the December summer initiation season. They died due to a variety of complications that are not associated with COVID-19. But the Premier of the Eastern Cape, Oscar Mabuyane, said on Tuesday, this year's first provincial press briefing was underway, and he said healthcare teams had tested 4,878 initiates for COVID-19, and 239 only were positive. That's amazing. If you test 4,800 people and only 239 come back positive in the province that's supposedly worst affected, we really don't have the problem that people suspected we had at the beginning of this, or even with the second wave. And it turns out that the reason that these 11 initiates have died was because of a variety of complications, botched circumcisions, dehydration.
There was an incident where some initiates were actually shot. There was actually a crime incident.
Jesus.
COVID should not be linked to the story at all.
No, it shouldn't, but they're testing people as they go off into the mountains. And here's the story. Three initiates. I just want to tell the story of the people who were shot, because you kind of jumped in with that one, but it's true.
Oh, okay.
No, it's fine. Three initiates were found dead with bullet. That's not fine, obviously, that happened.
Oh, but it's only three, eh? Shame.
Three were found dead with bullet wounds to their upper bodies inside a hut in Tsomo on Saturday, and the police have launched a manhunt for those suspects. So, yeah. Not a great time to get your circumcision done right now in the mountains of Eastern Cape.
I read a story that they were going to suspend or cancel the initiation season this year.
That's what I thought.
Obviously, that story was wrong.
No, they had for the first chunk of lockdown. No, forgive me if this sounds basic, if we're going a little too far back with this, but
as long as you don't go gay.
Yes, sure. Why were these initiations paused in the first place? Because I would think if you get tested just before, you're going up into the mountain for 2-3 weeks at a time, you're sort of like isolated in a group, as opposed to, I would think there's more chance of you getting the virus at your grocery store as opposed to just the 50 of you up in a mountain for 3 weeks. I wonder what justification they use to go, oh yeah, and initiations need to stop.
I don't know, other than the information I've just given you, I don't know.
Well, the thing is, we don't know the chronology, Sia, so we don't know the exact chronology.
But what you're saying makes sense.
I think the actual, you know, the festivities afterwards, you know, when the initiates come back from the mountain and there's a party and whatnot, that I think maybe they were taking into account. But actually being out alone for weeks on end, look, that doesn't seem like a risk.
Yeah, if you wanna approach logic and and with us in this department, I don't know. Because you can't go to the beach, but you can go to a crowded bar. So I don't know. Logic doesn't always play a role in this whole scenario. You know?
Yeah, I read a really interesting article yesterday by a guy who says that actually, what lockdown does is it forces more people into less areas. So, you know, if you think about shopping centers, for example, and grocery stores, that's where everybody is going. So if you wanted to spread a disease, the lockdown would be a perfect way to do it. Because instead of having more people going to more places, it has more people going to less places, which is pure logic. And if you think about it, I've spoken to a few people who've tested positive in the last while. They didn't get their positive, diagnosis because they'd been hanging around on a beach or in a park or at home with their family. They got it because they were in a public place and they were doing their shopping or whatever else. In fact, I spoke to a friend of mine the other day and he says the only place that he could have got it, because he tested positive in December, was at the shops. He says he wasn't having social occasions with friends or doing anything else. He had to have got it from the shops. So I wonder how many people are getting it because lockdown has restricted the number of places you can go to. And this is what this guy's article is all about.
So no, I don't know what to say. I don't know. It can work either way. Can work either way. Because I know myself personally, I hardly go anywhere. I just go shopping and I wear my mask and I stay away from people. So I don't. We didn't talk about that Etequini guy. Is that going to come up?
No, I want to get to that, but Vern says, sorry, I was just reading Vern's message. He says, if I was in charge of holding criminals to account, I'd be nervous for my life while trying to do the right thing. While our criminal underworld is highly organized and connected, what if we could partner with another country in a sense that they could hold our criminals to account via investigation and prosecution and vice versa? So in other words, you almost get like the French police to come here and do organized crime investigations. Because they don't, you know, you can't get to the belly of the kind of French police if you're a local criminal, organized criminal. But you can always find people in South Africa who can help you or you can threaten. So maybe that's a good idea. I mean, that was the whole idea behind Interpol, right? I mean, Interpol was...
Sounds like, yes, but also it sounds like a plot to a fantasy sci-fi series. It's not really... It's not practical in reality. No.
All right, so tell us about this Ekurhuleni guy because we've got to take a break in a second.
Okay, so this Etequini.
Sorry, he's from Durban.
Near Durban. So Sifiso Mdagani, something like that. He's a councillor in Etequini, and the story was that the coronavirus is not the issue. The 5G cell phone towers, that's what's making people ill.
Oh,
That was the story. And
what an idiot.
This guy's a counselor. People, he attends meetings with other people. They take him seriously. And the thing is, the story is twofold because, first of all, you see the headline on Twitter with Sowetan and it says 5G towers are the problem.
You can imagine if someone reads.
And then you open the story, and it's that this buffoon is coming up with this thing, and it's just insane. I just don't know what to make of it.
And I'm looking at the story now. He also says that white people have a cure, so it's all a like.
Oh yeah.
Yes, it's a plot. White people have the vaccine.
And he's seen it with his own eyes.
Yeah.
He's seen the white people collecting boxes of vaccines, and the white people were vaccinated 4 or 5 months ago.
Okay.
Well, the ANC is distancing itself from his comments.
Wow, you must know how bad your comments have to be for the ANC to distance themselves. I mean, they didn't even distance themselves from that deputy minister who hit that woman. So you must know.
Yeah, the party spokesperson in the KZN province says it's lunacy of the highest order, and you can quote me on that. After it was brought to the ANC's attention, he was summoned to the office to explain himself. It is not an ANC position.
So he was summoned and called to the office, right? But then what was the result of that meeting? Has he been suspended? Has he been kicked out? What is the outcome of
this
meeting?
They say it might become a disciplinary matter for the councillor.
Why only might?
Okay, I'm just reading.
It's crazy. You know, has he got a psychiatric problem or is he just an idiot? What is it?
That's such a good question. Because you don't know. I mean, where do you draw the line? If it's a psychiatric problem or the guy's an idiot, how do you figure that out? I mean, do you need an expert? Do you need a professional? Can psychiatrists help us figure out where that line is? Because that's...
Imagine you go to the psychiatrist and there's something wrong with you. And the psychiatrist says to you, listen, yeah, Damon, you don't actually have any psychiatric illnesses. You're just an idiot. That's the psychiatrist's job to decide.
Because I do know that there are people. I mean, listen, the whole point of going to school, it's not to teach you, because people come out of school and they've learned nothing. I mean, you just have to look at how many people in this country are unemployable, even though they've been to school. The real point of school is to is so you can prove to someone that you've spent time in an education institution so that they will hire you for a job. That's the real reason people go to school in South Africa. It's perverse, but it's true. Now, the other reason that you go is so that they can figure out how clever you are. In other words, your marks, so that we know whether or not you're going to be someone we want to employ.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right? So the whole point of school is to figure out whether you're dumb or you're clever. Now, are we still allowed to call people dumb?
Well, we don't use that term anymore or that often, because it's become like not politically correct or whatever.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
It's dumb, idiot, stupid, moron.
Yeah.
Can you say, you can't say retarded anymore. You're retarded.
No. You do that. I mean, I did on a post a while ago, I called all the people who the stay safe, stay home people. I said they're retarded, and I got into huge trouble with the audience there. People saying to me, you better take that back. Because, of course, I wasn't talking about people who have intellectual disabilities, but you know how people want to interpret things.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. I mean, maybe we're not allowed to use that terminology anymore. I'm not sure what the rules are.
The whole concept of not using the word retard anymore.
That I understand.
Goes back 20 years.
I understand that, but I'm talking about, you know, if someone is like this this Etekwini counselor, this guy who says 5D causes, he's stupid. He's ignorant and stupid. Are we allowed to even say that? Is my
you
question.
See, again, to say that 5G is causing illnesses and there's no such thing as COVID-19, ignorant and stupid still doesn't explain
this. It's not enough.
Well enough. You have to be psychiatrically ill. It's got to be something. You got to have had a head injury.
Yeah.
Hey?
I don't know. Anyway, Daz says, I use Rain, which is the new network provider, and I'm on 5G for more than a year now. So I should really be dead, according to that counselor. Yeah, Daz, that's a good point.
Oh.
All right. Well,
yeah, but also
it's 7 o'clock.
Another country like Nigeria doesn't have 5G, and people have COVID-19. So
So there's lots of ways you could prove this. Let's please not go down that road. Otherwise, we're as stupid as the guy in Etekwini. All right. It is just after 7, cliffcentral.com. We'll be back in a minute or two. We've also got Sean Saunders joining us today, and JP points out that Bitcoin went over $35,000 last night. So if you did sell, like I did the other day, then maybe you're kicking yourself in the backside, because it's going to keep on going up and up and up. But I'm happy with my decision. We'll find out what Sean Saunders, who's an expert in this, has to say about it about 7:30 this morning. Stick around for that and a whole lot more. CliffCentral.com.